satisfy you.
Welcome to Nodcast, episode 290, and Fuzz is trying to distract me. What's in a name? I'm Saverin. And you have just fucked up.
I enjoy putting my penis where it doesn't belong.
You'd mentioned pudding pops earlier.
Yes.
That was a stupid meme myself.
I put roofies in my pudding pops. Good.
Yeah. You seen that clip about the barbecue sauce?
No.
Oh, my God.
Did he roofie barbecue sauce?
Yeah, basically. So it's a clip from an old episode of The Cosby Show. And apparently he and the wife character had a fight earlier, but now they're okay. And it's like they have a bunch of family over for, like, by the way, this is Fuzz Wolf. They have a bunch of family over, and they're all eating. And he's like, "You notice how everybody gets kind of huggy when they're eating my special sauce?" And his wife looks out at everyone, and like all the other people there are starting to sort of neck and, you know, kiss and stuff like that. And she's like, "You're kidding." And he's like, "You know, I made a jar of that special sauce. It's upstairs in the bedroom. Why don't you go upstairs and try out some of my special sauce?" You know, just. And it's just totally implying that his special sauce makes people horny, you know. But in the context of today, yeah, looking back, it's like, wow, this old sitcom got really creepy.
Yeah, hindsight and all that.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy. So Shiva may or may not be joining us. She had a Free Fiesta staff meeting she had to be at. They're talking GOHs or something.
Yeah, it's the GOH committee.
Yep. Got to figure out which sort of, fur famous person we're going to invite.
Yes. That's funny. There's horse famous and poppy fur.
Yeah.
There's, could you switch them? Poppy pony and fur famous?
Sure. It's all fleeting.
Yes.
Don't pin your hopes on being fandom famous. Don't do it, kids.
Yeah. Yeah. That's advice I give to people where I'm like, and not that this particular person wasn't, but it came up recently where I was like, don't make it a goal to be guest of honor at a con. I've seen quite a few people do that. I think we've even got emails in the past to be like, oh, I want to be guest of honor at a con. And I'm like, I know what the GOH selection process has been like for a few years now. And it's like, it's very capricious. You know, all the cons do it differently. Sometimes it's up for a vote of, you know, 20 or 40 staff members. And sometimes it's a small committee. Sometimes it's a bigger thing.
Maybe a con out there rolls a D20. Who knows?
Yeah. And there's all these different factors. It's like, well, we did a fursuit last year. We'll do a writer this year. Or we'll do a fan guest of honor, you know, like a con chair or something like that. Or do we have to have an artist? Do we have to have two artists? You know, things like that. So
we need to have musicians and fursuiters.
Yeah, and it's all these random things, and you look at, well, how many times has this person been a guest of honor before? Is there a cool person that's doing a lot for the community that hasn't been honored previously? And what kind of partnership and working relationship can we have with that person? And
yeah,
it's just there's so many variables, and every con does it differently. It's not like a reasonable goal that you can set for yourself because there's no pathway to work towards that.
Just be cool guy. That, like, yeah, that guy seems cool.
Yeah, just be awesome. If you want to be a fursuiter, put your heart and soul into it. If you want to be an artist, fucking practice every day. Get really good at your craft. The same with writing, you know, and don't fuck around and be like, well, I tried art for a while and I sucked at it. So I tried music for a while and I sucked at that. So I tried writing for a while and I suck at that. You know, we've had emails like that from more than one person as well.
Sucking at something is the first step of being kind of good at doing something.
Right. Yeah. You know, and you'll suck a little less next time. But, you know, like they say about artists, you draw like 1,000 shitty sketches that you hate before you draw the one that you're happy with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that takes a while.
Well, it's like, you know, I saw this motivational thing where it's like, you know, the reason, you know, Da Vinci is this great artist, but we only have like 600 drawings he did because he hated them and burned the rest.
Yeah. I believe that, yeah.
Something like that. So it's like, yeah, you know, everybody, even the super well-renowned people, do shit that they're not happy with.
Yeah.
And there's artists I follow on Tumblr that are like, yeah, I'm not really happy with this, but a friend of mine said it looked cool, so here's that.
And you know, and you look at it and you're like, I could never fucking
draw. And you're like,
well, I mean, you know that one day I could if I practiced every day, but you're like, I couldn't draw something like that right now.
And I was like, but that's a pretty hot naked bird lady.
Right.
So yeah, it's just, you gotta stick with it. I mean, hell, I've been doing the free audiobook thing for what, 3 years now?
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
Getting better all the time.
Yeah.
Reading them words and verse stories.
Four dicks per minute.
Yep. What else has been going on?
One of our air conditioners broke.
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
It happened on... I was working from home on Monday and Tuesday. It was either Monday or Tuesday. And I just... heard a noise like something shutting off, and all of a sudden, like the house started warming up, and there was just like no air flow at all coming out of the main room air conditioner.
You've got a pretty big house, so it's pretty easy to notice that.
Yeah, and also it was like the little thing tells you the temperature, and it started slowly rising, and I was like, "Hey, honey, I think the air conditioner just broke," and. So by the next day, at least that it worked half of that day. But the next day was Wednesday, and it didn't work all day. Mm-hmm. And I'm working from home in the production room, which doesn't have air conditioning now that it's broken. And Tieran's working from home in the den, which is on the other side of the house, which does have air conditioning. So he's in his little bubble of perfectly cool air.
And you're sweltering and in the production room.
I'm dying. My antiperspirant could not keep up. Like, I put on deodorant, like, two or three times.
Yeah.
Because I would just sweat pouring. And I had a fan. I had a ceiling fan in the production room, and I brought in a standing oscillating fan as well.
And for people that don't know why this is important, it's been getting about 106 here in Texas.
So it got up to 92 degrees in on that house. Side of the house. Jesus yeah.
Christ.
And like I was towards the end of the day, I was just sitting there, like I couldn't concentrate, I couldn't focus. I was just like, ugh. I took a little break even, went and lay in the bed for on top of the bed for 10 minutes. Just
when I get your sheets all sweaty and gross.
Yeah, but just lay on top just to be in the coolness for a little bit. And Tieran called one of the companies that the home warranty people recommended, and they're like. This was on Tuesday, right? 2 days ago. They're like, we can get a guy out next Thursday. So like 9 days from the phone call. And so he called them back. He's like, look, I work from home. This is Texas. It's 100 degrees every day this week. I need somebody that can come out here sooner than that. And of course, this is our first or second big heat wave week this year. So like everybody's... air conditioners are like hitting max load, and you know, so they're probably very behind because this is the first real stress test of this season. And then we had a brownout, which only lasted like a minute maybe, but like I had to go and log back in, and I use a VPN when I work from home, and I had to go through all that and get it all started and everything. So, and the work computer is really slow when it first starts up.
Yeah, so
it was
Texas.
It's like 30 seconds of no electricity. 15 minutes later, everything is back up and running. You know.
Oh well.
So he said it's working better today. And we might consider replacing it. I'm like, maybe we should just get another one, like a different part of the house or something, like further segment it, you know? Because right now it's like a 2/3, 1/3 kind of thing. We have like a double-sized air conditioner for the production room side and the living room. and then like a regular size air conditioner for the bedroom side of the house. Maybe we should get like a separate air conditioner just for that center portion and make it like a one-third
yeah, kind of thing. Like where the game room is, maybe.
Yeah, where's the game? Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know where it would go, but...
You could figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like every year they have a real hard time keeping up, and we have a repairman out a couple times a year. But so that's been the wow, my life sounds boring when I say it like that. Yeah. That's the big thing I've been worrying about is the air conditioner broke.
For me, I've been working on projects, audiobooks, mm-hmm. working on The Hero, My Tyrion.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that guy. Is he new?
He's just this guy. I don't know.
I won't amount to anything.
Lots of fucking.
Yes.
But really, just not. I haven't had a very exciting week, and that's perfectly fine because some weeks it's going on everywhere, and it's like, no, this is just getting shit done as I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going to the gym a few times. It's been a nice, calm week here in Saverin Land.
In the Fennecopolis.
Fennecopolis, yes. Yeah. just posting silly shit to Twitter and.
This is an adult show. Do you want to relate your story?
Yeah, okay, so I was taking a break midday, and I had a friend of mine who's like, dude, you need to check out this author. And it was like some Klopfic.
Uh-huh.
And in honor of National Left-Hander Day, I was like, I'll offhand it today, yeah. And I'm reading the story, just enjoying it, going on, working it. And then, like, I realize I'm wearing my watch.
Mm-hmm.
My fitness tracker watch, which tracks my steps. And I'm like, oi. And I look at it, and I have a lot of points. I'm using Misfit, which gives you more points based on the speed in which you are moving in steps.
Mm-hmm.
So it thought I was going pretty damn fast. And so when I synced it and went into the app, and it said that I had walked 1.5 miles, and so I posted to Twitter that I'd wanked 1.5 miles. It was 10 minutes of vigorous activity, according to the application, that if I had actually run that, I would have burned, like, 215 calories. I'm actually trying to... Oh, what's going on here? My phone is... Oh, no. My watch is being dumb. Let's see, yeah. Sleep, no.
Is that the Pebble, your watch there, or is that something that...
Else? Yeah, this is my Pebble. I have the original version. Mm-hmm. Panther just got the Pebble Steel color or whatever. It's the new fancy version.
Mm-hmm.
Still only like $150 as opposed to like $350 for an iWatch.
Yeah, I figured it'd be a lot less expensive. They're doing that. That's the one that's in color now, right?
Yeah,
this fitness little graph just has this big spike around noon, just yep. like suddenly really vigorous activity.
Yeah, it I wanked 1.5 miles today. It was a good story though.
Well done.
It was
Yeah, the graph is great. If we were a show that actually had different icons per episode, you could just make that the icon.
I could.
That was something that way back in the day, I listened to the Heroes podcast, and they did an enhanced AAC podcast, which like MP3 doesn't support this, but with AAC, like you could put in all these different chapters and have different artwork per chapter. So, like, if they were talking about, like, cosplay pictures that people sent them, they would actually put those pictures as the icon art. So when you're watching it on your iPod, you're actually seeing these pictures come up as they're talking about them. And they had little different section bumpers and stuff like that. Like, I thought that was a kind of a neat thing to do, but probably very time-consuming.
Oh, yeah.
To set that up. But it's kind of a pity that MP3 doesn't support that, too. Yeah. C'est la vie.
My watch is being retarded again.
Yay.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Oh, well.
In what way? It just becomes unsynced from your phone?
Yeah, it unsyncs and then refuses to sync, and you have to, like, fuck around with it for a while until it decides to recommunicate.
Is it Bluetooth? Is that
how? Yeah, it's Bluetooth and Bluetooth LE.
Oh, what's Bluetooth LE?
Oh, now it says it's finished. Bluetooth low energy, it's for like push notifications, whatever. It's the second thing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. I don't know how it works. It's some fucking voodoo magic as far as I'm concerned.
Even technology. You're like, yeah.
It's an interface.
I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, it's my watch's interface doesn't want to interface with my phone's interface.
The computer is a magic box.
Yep. Okay, so another thing.
Yes.
So have you seen the Lion Guard?
Yes, the trailer. Thing? Yeah. And the lion gets his cutie mark. The
lion gets his cutie mark. And for some reason, everything's being retarded. Like, my tweet could not be sent, so apparently our home network might have derped. I don't know. Good thing that they were not streaming this.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'd be talking to ourselves.
Yep. But, yeah, the year of the furry.
Oh, movie. Yes. God, I didn't realize there were so many, but you listed like 10 of them or something earlier.
Yep. I'm trying to.
Zootopia is just the beginning.
Yes, because there's Zootopia and Kung Fu Panda 3 and a movie called Spark, which has a pig, a monkey, and a hot fox lady.
Mm.
One movie called Sheep and Wolves, which has Anthro Sheep.
Mm.
There's the Ratchet and Clank movie. Mm-hmm. There's Sly the Sly Cooper movie. The Nut Job 2, which is kind of whatever.
Oh, what there's was the Rock Dogs?
Rock Dogs.
That looks good.
There's some anime that features like a bear dude and a loli. And, oh shit, Animal Crackers, which has like an anthro lion or something involved in it. Mm-hmm. So there is a whole bunch of furry movies coming out in the year 2016.
Yep.
It's the year of the furry. But yeah, it's really funny because people are like, oh God, that lion got a cutie mark. Oh, this is the next MLP. Oh, this everything's the next MLP. This is terrible.
Is this an ongoing joke in the MLP community?
Well, it's an ongoing joke on 4chan's comics and cartoon board that any new popular cartoon, oh God, this is the next MLP.
So Steven Universe.
Yeah, Steven Universe is the next MLP.
Mm-hmm.
Rick and Morty's the next MLP.
Your mom's Gravity the Falls, next MLP.
Yeah. You know, all this bullshit, right?
Right.
And my phone has just like derped hardcore. What the fuck?
Mm.
I was just going to try to.
Let me start a word. Say, oh, it's because it's an iPhone.
Yep.
I don't give a shit. Anyway, why don't you use your iPad?
Because I can pull up. No, I think like the Wi-Fi just went down.
Oh.
Okay. Which is fine because I have all the emails pulled up over here.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a ton of furry movies. And it's interesting. They're using Toon Boom for this one.
What's Toon Boom?
Toon Boom is a successor to Flash. Think of it that way.
Oh, okay.
So basically, it's pretty close to Flash animation. It's basically the future of 2D stuff. And it's.
Is it the next MLP?
Yes. It's the next MLP of television animation programs. And so it's Lion King, but it does look different because it's not 2D animated, traditionally animated. It's Flash-ish, Flash-esque. So
apparently there's a TV movie, which is a pilot for a TV series. And it's about Simba's second son and his friends and enemies and frenemies. And his best friend is a honey badger, which is kind of neat.
And there is a
couple of hyenas.
As antagonists, there's a leopard, a hippo, and a bird.
Mm-hmm. Burb.
Yes, and they all have their cutie mark.
Mm-hmm.
Of a lion. The cutie marks haven't evolved very far in the lands of lion.
In the pride lands.
In the pride lands. Yeah. Their magic level is pretty their species. Low. Yeah. And so, like.
And not even like an image, like text. It just says, you are a lion.
your special ability, being a lion. And it was funny because that one image you posted to Twitter is like where the kid Keon, I think his name is, is about the same height as the adult ponies. And I'm like, man, you know, they wouldn't be so friendly to him if he was an adult lion and fucking around in Equestria.
You know.
They'd be like, oh, fuck, get him out of here.
Yeah, it'd be like that Manticore episode.
Yeah.
But I love the way I read Dash's expression was totally like, I don't like anything getting attention except for me, you know. She looks like kind of bitchy, and AJ looks confused, and
Fluttershy has a blush. Like, oh, he's so cute.
Yeah, like, oh, it's an animal, it's cute. And Rarity looks like she wants to fuck him.
What a whore. Yeah.
What a horse.
Yes.
Twilight just looks friendly, I think.
It's just them being friendly to, oh, you've got a cutie mark too.
Yeah.
Because immediately people were drawing that conclusion. There are people getting extremely angry about it.
Oh, were there?
Well, on Ko, yeah. Like,
oh, because they don't like ponies?
Well, yeah, because Pony has its own board and
don't bring your pony shit into our comics and animation board.
This is Lion King, but they've got a cutie mark. And people were like, is that a cutie mark? I'm like, no, get the fuck out. Go back to your containment board.
So the artist of a piece, I added her on Twitter, but the name is Tarti, T-A-R-T-I-I. That is their F.A. name as well, so you can go on there and see the picture we're talking about. But, you know, I think she nailed the style of both properties really well.
Yeah. Just need to, like, fucking turn off Wi-Fi and start over. This is impressive. Oh, because it attached to the wrong network. What the fuck?
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Like, your watch is on one network and... Well, no, your watch isn't on the network.
But...
The phone attached to one of Panther's other
networks? Yeah, attached to the wrong network. So you need to see that there's multiple blinky boxes over there?
Yeah, yeah.
Behold my highly technical terms.
Are they their interfaces for the wireless?
There's a square blink, the square solid blinky box, and there's the
hexagonal
blinky box next to the big gray blinky box,
yeah,
which is connected via a magic cable to the other blinky boxes in the front room, which is connected to the light tube where I have fiber optic laser power internet.
The light tube.
I'm a very special dog, I will have you know.
I love that one of the blinky boxes actually looks like a mid-90s cable box. It's like that size. I'm like, man, I remember those from back in the day.
That'd probably be why they failed to sync my activity, too, because it was tries to pass information from my watch to the phone via wireless.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Whatever.
That's not how Bluetooth works.
It says Wi-Fi required.
Oh, okay.
When you do it.
All right.
Whatever. So, blinky boxes and magic light tubes. And as long as the magic smoke doesn't escape, I'm A-okay.
Because that's your soul.
Yep.
I feel like I had something else I was going to mention, but I don't remember. I saw a movie recently, but I don't remember. Mission Impossible 5. I went to see that not long ago. That was actually pretty good. It was most enjoyable.
Cool.
And then I found the, there's a Mission Impossible, I like throwing out like good deals when I find them, but on iTunes, there was a Mission Impossible movie bundle where it was the first four movies in HD for $20. So it's like $5 each, and they're all pretty fun movies, you know. I mean, you're not looking at like super deep emotional meaning or anything like that. They're just fun action movies. So just order some pizza and watch Mission Impossible. And
shit blows up real good, yo.
Yeah, it really does, you know, but not like in a Michael Bay way. But although John Woo directed one of them, it was like two or three. That was cool.
Panther must have killed the network somehow.
Huh.
I don't know. Whatever.
Okay. Well, don't worry about
it. Yeah.
We have the emails cached our devices anyways.
So. Yep. So, yeah. That's pretty much it. Not a lot going on.
Yeah.
There's cons coming up.
Indy Fur Con is this weekend.
How did RMFC go? Did your dudes do well?
Sales were up over last year, which is good. I've also seen a couple reports from artist friends that they had a very good year as well. So that's good. It wasn't just us. Sales at the con did pretty well in general.
BronyCon was last week, and it was fine.
Oh, yeah. We should get people to write in for BronyCon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got Indie FurCon this weekend. Euroferns is next weekend. Furry Migration at the end of the month. So,
cool. Because, like, yeah, you had, like, Kage up there, Shilling, Anthrocon. You had Dragonair went to BronyCon, too.
That's right, yeah.
So there's lots. There was a surprisingly large number of fursuiters there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. and certain other people are rather afraid of them. So
really?
Yeah. There's a certain douchebag who is kind of afraid of fursuiters, who a friend of mine went and bothered him by just standing near him.
Oh, I don't... in a way, I sympathize, because, like, I'm not really big on fursuiters either. But
the guy's a douchebag.
The guy is a douchebag. Yeah.
Oh, well. So let's get to the emails. We are 30 minutes into the recording.
They should have humped him.
All right, so... We are going to start out with this one. It is from Ryoko, titled Setting Realistic Goals.
Hello again. It's titled Please Leave Me Anonymous. No.
Yes. That says Please Leave Me Anonymous. Hello again, Notcast Ryoko here.
Exactly.
Yes, that's how it works. I thought I'd write in with a follow-up and some interesting updates. First things first, thank you. Over the past several years, you guys have helped many people work through some trying times, myself included. I pointed several other friends to Notcast for some general advice and a few good laughs. Somehow, you guys managed to strike a perfect balance between laughs and seriousness. There's a better way to phrase that. But I'm too tired to think of it right now. On behalf of a few of my friends who have been listening since some of the early episodes, thanks for the absolutely hilarious but very good advice. And on to some updates. Thanks for listening, first of all.
Cool.
I wrote in some time ago, kids in consternation in the follow-up email, regarding some troubled roommates. Well, the whole roommate situation has been cleared up, thankfully, and everything is back to normal. Almost. As it stands, I'd like your opinions on an issue that has arisen in the past couple months, one that I was unaware of until a few weeks ago.
This the email that had 900 people involved or something?
Yeah, where it was, like, some real fucking relationship algebra kind of stuff, but,
Yeah, but it was, like 9 or 10 different names or something. Anyway, yeah, go ahead with the email, but I'm trying to...
About half a year ago, I was told that my neck was basically backwards. Cervical kyphosis, I think it was called. Basically, my neck is lacking the lordotic, I think that's a word, curve it should normally have. Instead, it curves in the opposite direction, making it a rather severe case, apparently. I didn't really
Can you turn your head entirely around like an owl?
I didn't really consider it severe and has never caused me pain or discomfort, at least not until a month ago. I had been seeing a chiropractor at least once a week since I was notified of this, and there has been no progress. About 2 weeks ago, I was told that the most he would be able to do is delay the issue for maybe 10 years. I wasn't satisfied with the prognosis, so I went in to talk to an orthopedic surgeon, and this guy wasn't much help either. I knew neck surgery was risky, but he was not too particularly optimistic either, which was a bit of a concern. In fact, he went so far as to say that the procedure would most likely end up with chronic pain and advised against it unless it was already a problem. So now I'm stuck. If I'm to believe what I've been told, I have maybe 10 years of decent to good health. My current job isn't very kind to my back, and I have the feeling that it has attributed to the progression at least a little bit. Now here's the problem. I'm not too terribly concerned about what will happen in 10 years. Either I'll be in pain, paralyzed, or perfectly fine. This bit of news, however, coupled with the constant headaches I've been getting thanks to this issue, has gotten me thinking. I have a few goals I'd like to reach, but this really puts a twist into everything. I want to get through school. But given only 10 years, that would leave only 6, and I'm not exactly optimistic on getting through school with no debts. Having only 6 years to pay off what I would accrue in that time is really rough, and after that point I may be forced to live off disability instead of any sort of decent income. That being said, I'd probably end up behind and financially screwed. I'd also really like to settle down, but purchasing a house puts me in about the same boat as school does. I'd like to get into animation, but I don't know much on the subject. That's why I wanted to go to school. But even if I did immerse myself in self-study, it would be that much more difficult to get into the field. With the amount of time it might take to learn what I need to get into the field, I'm not sure it's worth it if I'm unable to stay in that field of work. Anime would be nice. Now, this is probably the biggest issue for me. I could pursue a relationship with one of many of my close friends, and I'm almost certain we'd work out nicely, but I don't know if I want to put them in a situation where they would have to take care of me. While yes, I can see it happening, I would simply feel like a burden. The way I see it, I have a few options. I can pretend that nothing is wrong and just deal with the issues as they arise, keeping my goals as they are now and pursuing them as I would normally. I can reevaluate what I actually want for my life and maybe come up with some sort of compromise where I can actually get some sort of satisfaction in the long run. Or I can just give up. Not really an option, since that would lead to a pretty miserable outcome. Also, I'm not paralyzed yet. I'm at a complete loss at what to do. I feel like I've lost basically all direction in my life with these new variables to consider, so I'd like your input if at all possible. What should I do here? Should I just keep pushing for my goals I may not reach? Yes.
Is that the end of the email?
Well, yeah. There's a
secondary.
Let's wrap up on this up on a lighter note for immigration. We'll be taking in place in Minneapolis once again. It's the second year, and we've got a new venue for the event. The Hyatt Regency, I believe, a little distance from the previous hotel, but goodness, does it look nice. The convention is starting on August on the 28th and runs to the 30th. Here's to hoping that it'll be just as good as it was last year. I'll be attending with three of my friends, and hopefully the six-hour drive will pass by a little more quickly this year. Perhaps I'll actually have a call and report to send this time around. I'm not sure if registration is still open. I doubt it, but the website is furrymigration.org. Apologies for the wall text. Hopefully my spelling and grammar didn't suffer too much. I apologize if this I'm writing just before bed and I'm exhausted. Love the show. Ryoko.
Yeah. Is that your phone rebooting?
Yes. No, that's my phone.
Not on airplane mode. Well, while he does that, yeah, I was kind of second what Saverin said. It's that you can't completely predict the future. And like you said, you'll either be in pain, paralyzed, or fine.
Yeah.
So that's sort of like, I don't know, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow or I could live to 100. You should just go ahead and make your plans like you're going to stay alive. You know, you haven't gotten a super firm terminal illness diagnosis, like you have 3 months to live, wrap up your affairs.
Yeah.
That kind of situation, then yeah, don't make any 5-year long plans.
Get your hedonism in.
Right. Yeah. But in your case, I mean, it's very up in the air. I would treat it the same way as you might get cancer when you're 50 or something like that. I wouldn't let that thought stop you from having a normal life now. I would definitely, if you get seriously involved with anyone, I would definitely disclose that medical information, because if you get to the point where you're gonna really settle down with someone for the long haul, that's information that they should have. Yeah. That kind of thing could potentially happen. But I think you should, try to, if you want to go to school and stuff like that, yeah. But at the same time, also pack in some life experiences early on, while you can. I mean, if you want to go climb a mountain or see the Grand Canyon or something like that, do that kind of thing sooner than later.
Well, let me give you guys an example from my own life.
Okay.
When I was super fucking morbidly obese, and before I decided, before I had my wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is actually when I had my wake-up call and was like, maybe I've fucked up, maybe I'm past the point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make it to at least thing. Mm-hmm. All right. I did that. Cool. Well, now I got to make it to the next one. And I got to make it to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving up. I'm getting my shit together, and I'm going to do this shit. Because I was fairly convinced that I just fucked up and was going to die by the time I hit 35.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And obviously I'm not dead. I'm 32, down a whole bunch of weight. 180 pounds, I think. Maybe more than that. Math is hard.
Wait, you've lost 180?
Yeah.
Wow. You hadn't updated me in a while.
It's been kind of stagnant lately, but
that happens. You plateau for a bit.
Yeah, I've been plateaued for a little bit, but then if I get to it, I'll just drop a bunch of weight. That and going to a couple cons and eating garbage all weekend doesn't help me, but then I'll lose right back down. my body likes staying around 250 for the last little bit, but mm-hmm. I've been going back to the gym with Panther on a 3 times a week basis, and
yeah,
my walk speed's up. I can maintain a pretty decent pace for a decent amount of time too now. Anyways, but no, that was my, I was convinced that I'd fucked up and my time was running short, but I was like, fuck it, this is my goal, I'm going to make it to that. And then I made the next goal, and then I made the next goal. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't necessarily long term. They're like, I'm going to make it to this con. I'm going to finish this book. But, you know, those were motivating factors. Yeah, you could get hit by a bus. But you know what? At least you're working towards a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And if your head falls off or whatever, at least you were working towards
something. Then find a new head.
Well, yeah, you know, you have a goal, work towards it.
Yeah.
And when shit happens, deal with it. But don't let a potential, like, keep you from doing what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. Eloquently put. Well, sort of.
It's
just messing with you.
Well, let me tell you about this interface. No. So yeah, that's it for this one. The next one's from it's from Jeeves.
The first of 10.
The first of 55.
Oh, I forgot that I was supposed to read emails. I guess I better open my phone.
There are 3 from him.
Oh, are you working from the bottom?
Yes, the first emails we have are from the 3rd of August. Okay.
So this one is Moist Sex Basement. So this is actually on topic for last week. Last week when we didn't read any on-topic emails.
We got started really late.
Yeah.
We actually got started late this week, too.
Yeah, so this will be our last email. Okay, dear Notcast. Last show, you guys asked for stories about the skeevy places we've encountered beyond our own homes. I have 2 such tales, both of which occurred in my Red Badge days, so I will try to be as undescriptive and plain as possible to avoid any awkwardness. The first such tale took place when I was at a sleepover with a friend. I must have been 11 or 12 at the time, as was he, and it was the first and only time I ever spent a night at his place. Oh dear. I remember waking up around 4 a.m., a couple of hours after we'd hit the sack, to find him lying close by, openly pleasing himself. It was my first time ever witnessing such actions from another person, and since then I just couldn't stop loving cock. I can still taste that first load today. Wait, sorry.
No, that's not exactly what he said.
I think somebody's story got mixed up in this email. Yeah, totally. Okay.
Read the email, Fuzz.
All right. Witnessing such actions from another person, and indeed, even I myself had not discovered masturbation at that point. Needless to say, it freaked me out more than a little. He went on to ask me if I would join him, and when I declined, continued to pleasure himself in front of me to the inevitable conclusion. Uncomfortable, unwanted sexual overtones aside, this is where things got creepy. He then proceeded to display himself urinating in a jar, which he had beside the bedroom window, apparently for that very purpose. Well, we couldn't afford no outhouse. I don't know.
An indoor
pool. Oh, wait, no, this is in Scotland. Ugh, just piss in that jar there. We're going to make scotch out of that later. This is the one we sell to the Yanks. We keep the good shit for ourselves. And proceeded to dip his fingers into the urine and flick it at me. Ew.
Yeah. Ew.
I arrived back at my home about 10 minutes later. Don't blame you. Hammered on the door until my mother let me in and refused to ever speak of why I'd come home early until just a few years ago. Since then, that former friend has ended up in prison. So I'm sure he gets all the urine he wants in prison. So I guess I was lucky that I stopped hanging out with him when I did. Wow. Tale number 2 is either less or more creepy, depending on how you look at it. It takes place when I was 13 or 14 and staying with some friends at a family with my father. I was sharing a room with the other family's eldest son, about a year older than me, and while we'd hit it off fairly well, it wasn't like we'd become instant best friends. The whole upstairs of the house was filthy, and it turned out that essentially his parents lived downstairs and left the children to have free reign of the upstairs. This sounds like excellent parenting. If it got too messy, it was their responsibility to clean it. As a result, it never got cleaned. After wading through a sea of Pokemon cards, which lay across the hallway floor, I was shown to the room I'd be sharing and sleeping in. He closed the door, showed me his comic collection and his PS1, and then showed me the porn box he had under his bed. When I say box, I don't mean a shoebox. I mean one of those meter-square plastic tubs with a clip-on lid, full of pictures of nude women cut out from magazines and newspapers. He took great pride in telling me how he'd come across some of them by picking up newspapers and magazines off the street. And if I wanted to use any of them, I was more than welcome. I did not take him up on his offer. Those weren't the last awkward encounters of unwanted sexual advances or offers to befall me over the years, but were the only two which were predominantly a result of the weird places I'd been taken. I hope I haven't horrified you too much. Now I'm going to go take a 4-hour shower to get rid of the supreme ick which writing out those memories has brought back to the surface. Ever asexual, after reliving those experiences, Jeeves the Roo, far, far away from either of those people, thank goodness.
There we go.
Yeesh.
Yeesh. Yeah, that... I don't think... I never had any... like, anything like that happen growing up. Mm. Like, I never had, like, the mutual wank thing or anything like that. The only thing that was vaguely weird was that when I was younger and, like, I was staying at a friend's place, and this was, like, I was, like, 12, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he was like, oh, you just sleep with me. And, like, the guy curled up against my back and I was like, oh, and being a 12-year-old that didn't know shit about shit at that point, I was like, I'm going to sleep on the floor now.
Mm-hmm. Unclean. He started throwing holy water at him.
Yeah, that's the extent of my weirdness, thankfully.
I just realized that when I was a kid, like, three other boys showed me their dick. Maybe they knew something I didn't. Well, one was just sort of to the room in general.
Like, check it out, guys.
Yeah, it was.
I got a wiener.
This was like first or second grade in Scotland, and this kid just pulled out his dick and started waving it around and it put it away before the teacher noticed.
He missed penis inspection day, and so he had to show everybody else that he still had one.
Had to make up for it, yeah. Yeah, and then I remember I was like 7 or something, and some other kid showed me their dick. And then I happened again in a totally different country when I was like 11. And
who fucking knows, man?
It was weird. Like, I was a late bloomer, so I didn't think anything of it or have any real urge to show off my own dick at the time.
Yeah.
But it was like other kids that were around the same age as me were all like eager to pull out their dick. And nothing ever came of it. It was just like, I'm going to pull out my dick now. Now that I'm thinking back and I was like, huh, that's really strange.
Yeah. You know, you hear the.
But I didn't have any mutual jerking or any weird offers like that, though.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm disappointed that contrary to all the porn you see online, nothing interesting happened to Boy Scout camp.
No.
You know, I went to Weeblow camp, which sounds like something should happen, but no.
No.
And that was supposed to be like, there's so many stories of like gay guys being like, that was my sexual awakening was at Boy Scout camp and all the boys were blowing each other or something. No. And I was like, what fucking camp did you go to? Because that didn't happen when I went to camp.
Nope, that sure hell didn't happen to me either. I remember getting in a fight with a trio of Boy Scouts from Arkansas, though. We went to some camp.
Was that the one you hit with like a bat or something?
Yeah, a walking stick.
Walking, that's what it was. I couldn't remember if it was a baseball bat or a staff.
It was a walking stick, and they were like trying to like jump me on the path between the camp and the thing. And
yeah.
Fucking hit them in the face. Hit one of them in the face. The other two ran.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. You whack one of them, and
they're like,
yeah.
They're a bunch of shithead kids. Whatever. Back in the day.
Then all you right. Fucking curb stomped him against a rock, and like,
yeah.
Foot went right through his skull.
It's not like he had any teeth to lose. He was from Arkansas. Anyways, next email.
Rahadas could be like, hey.
Yep.
Okay, you read this.
All right, so this one's titled, What the Fuck? Hey, Notcasters. It's been a while since I've written in, but this one is a contender of the WTF email of the week here. Yeah, let's try this again. It's been a while since I've written in, but I have one that's a contender for WTF email of the week here. I got a little too excited. Violence just gets my blood going. You may remember.
You're like, I want to speed up more Boy Scouts.
I frown on it now. I'm a little too old to show up at camp and just kick the ass of random kids.
I have bad memories of Boy Scouts. I'm going to take it out on you, but I've never met you. I wasn't even alive when that happened. It doesn't matter. I hate 9-year-olds.
You may remember my long-distance gal pal, whom I've called Elle in the past. Well, she's been having some issues lately, courtesy of a head injury suffered at work, and I think we're working our way through the process of getting her signed up for the sort of disability aid she qualifies for. Mm. And somebody needs to ball punch whoever it was in California that made it legal to leave somebody completely in the lurch for months between workers' comp cutting out the instant the doctor says disability and disability actually deciding you're legitimately disabled and starting to make payments.
Mm. Insurance companies don't like making payments.
Nope. The WTF part of all this is what's been going on with her relationship-wise. We're in a semi-open relationship, but the sort of guys whose attention she's managed to attract has left something to be desired. Mm. First off, there was the married coworker who went from nice guy to talk to who knew how to fix computers in a pinch to would-be player with delusions of being Christian Grey, the dude from 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
After that, basically every one of her male housemates took turn being infatuated with her, the best of the bunch being the guy who thought that his running out to get cigarettes with her money would improve his odds with her, and the bottom of the barrel being the one who would make smarmy game-level advances between being a complete asshole to everybody in the household and occasionally smacking around his other girlfriend. Finally, she managed to move out, deciding the attention she was getting was anything but flattering and reassuring, and in with one of her older uncles. So this would seem to be an improvement, particularly when she manages to leapfrog from there to a better situation with one of her aunts, until her uncle, the day she's moving out to her aunt's place, admits that, well, I think you can see where the pattern's going here, but suffice it to say that I got the text I got at work was something to the effect of, fuck it, I'm a lesbian now. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I suppose the piece of advice I'm looking for is this. Is it safe for her to say that, given that she just moved in with a woman? Is this at all the most unnecessarily over-elaborate coming-out ploy ever? Or am I secretly in email contact with the distaff version of Jim Carrey from The Truman Show? On a blessedly less screwed up note, I did enjoy your talk about classic furry action cartoons. I actually still quote Dog City, which never fails to get me baffled looks, so hearing Fuzz mention it was honestly kind of a relief. A couple other shows that you could have mentioned would have been Biker Mice from Mars, Street Sharks, Mighty Ducks, and going further shows like Dinosaucers, arguably Visionaries, hey, they all had totem animals. I remember that. They were the little dudes that had, they had either bear heads or whatever. There, they had an animal like hologram sticker on their chest.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
And tiger sharks. If we expand that out to shows with pivotal furry characters, I don't think we'd ever be done. But I particularly love Thundar and Pirates of Dark Water.
Oh God, Pirates of Dark Water was so good.
Yeah, it just ended partway through. And I think one of my co-writers would never speak to me again if I didn't bring up Brave Stars
3030. Mm-hmm. I've never seen the show, but I've seen the Wookiee porn.
Yes. Big cybernetic horse,
yes,
with a big cybernetic dick. All that is kind of my long-winded way of saying that I'm practically grabbing random people by the lapels and shaking them for loose change to throw at the SWAT Cats Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, folks. This is one of the best ones out there. It could be even better now that we're in an entirely new era. Howlingly yours, the Wolfie Man. P.S. Saverin. Baked brie, as we do it here, is a fairly simple yet classy-ish appetizer. Take one wheel of brie, wrap it in crescent dough, stick it in an oven until the dough is nicely browned and the cheese nice and gooey. It also works with Havarti, Camembert, and pretty much any other softest cheese. Works with harder ones, too, but they don't soften well while the dough is still baking instead of burnt. Okay, so going back to...
You'd randomly mentioned baking brie. Wouldn't it just melt? And...
Yeah, well, you put it, if you wrap it in dough and
yeah,
bake the motherfucker, that'll work.
Yeah, when I said that I had that as an appetizer at some restaurant, I didn't mean they brought me out like a glass jar with liquid brie in it.
Just
or
pour it on your face, you fat fuck.
And then just feed bacon strips into my mouth.
Yep. But yeah, going to, I'm pretty sure your long distance gal pal was giving you a bit of hyperbole, though it does sound like she's had a series of pretty shitty experiences with dudes. Mm. So she's probably not interested in the D for a while. And
yeah,
that's okay.
I wouldn't be either in that case.
Especially but... if, like, an uncle. Holy fuck.
Yeah, that's
so,
kind of crazy.
I would say still be friends with her, and she may be interested in the D later, but right now she's kind of had a bit of an overload of dudes who want to give her the D being actual dicks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it too much. She's figuring her shit out, and
yeah,
she'll come around, or she won't, but, you know, that's just how people roll sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you
sexuality know. Is this delightfully fluid, weird thing.
She could date some guys with small dicks if she's not ready for a lot of D.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pick up my phone. I forget.
Oh. Okay. Then Anonymous from Tumblr. Ooh. Anonymous asked a question.
Okay. Notcasters. Recently, I've seen furries getting angry on the internet. Shocking, I know. About people who are into gender transformation, gender shifting. They say it is offensive to trans people, and that it makes light of the difficulties people go through when transitioning from one gender to another. What are your opinions? Is this kink unintentionally transphobic in the assumptions it makes, or are those complaining just being oversensitive?
I think the people complaining are idiots.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way.
Your kink is your kink, and it's not. It affects you, not other people, so the whiners can fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, you can make up any... I mean, my character is mostly representative of me, but you can make up any character you want, you know? There's so many people that play the opposite gender or...
I've done it.
Play a herm or...
Hell.
You know?
Most of my... Actually, well, the vast majority of my MMO experience, starting back on Realms of Despair on a MUD on a fucking 2400 dial-up modem on a 386, were girls.
Yeah.
I've been a sexy elf mage. I've been a skunk girl mage. I've been a Tauren. I was a cat girl in Final Fantasy XIV, and now I'm an Amazonian Rugadane woman.
Yeah, but like shifting back and forth. I mean, I see that as a fantasy. It's role play. It's a shape shifting fantasy.
And you would think that certain people who are trans would be more willing to role play as the gender they feel they are, that they identify as a like I wouldn't say coping mechanism, but as a way to feel more comfortable with themselves. If you're trans and you role play as the gender you identify with, that makes a lot of sense. And furry is like a further step. You're identifying as a completely different species, so it doesn't fucking have any real bearing on real life.
You know, I know this is not 100% of the people, but I bet you that most of the people that are doing the complaining are not even trans people.
Yeah, they're getting offended on behalf of other people.
Right, and you see this happen a lot. Like, you know... Like, they even made comics about that, like white people trying to speak for black people.
Yeah.
Or they're like, no, this is so.
Let me speak for you.
Right, yeah, which totally doesn't make it fucking worse. Yeah. You know? It's the same in this case, you know, because, like, I have known in the past and know several trans people that have been like, no, that's not offensive. And you know, in some people, you do have to walk a little more on eggshells around. But
yeah, well,
it's not a universally offensive thing.
I have a trans friend who their online role play is, their character is 100% female.
Mm.
And they get a lot of porn of that character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they roll. And that's cool. Yeah. They're a cool person. And that's – and if you're trying to say it somehow wrong for this trans individual to role play as the gender they identify with, then you can fuck off. That's pretty much my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really harmful, so just let people be.
All right.
Your turn then.
Okay, so book/vidgame LGBT representation. Sorry for the much belated email several episodes after the topic was discussed, but I wanted to point you all towards some excellent LGBT representation in mainstream video games that you didn't mention.
Mm.
First of all, Kremesius Aklasi was a trans man in the Bulls Chargers mercenary group in Dragon Age Inquisition. It seemed to me that it was a pretty good representation. It was brought up pretty tastefully, and if you chose the dialogue options that didn't respect his identity, the rest of the Chargers rather firmly corrected you. It seemed to me it was a good bit of education. There's also a number of memorable and interesting party members who are bi or gay. I really like Sarah as a character, but was seriously disappointed that she is a lesbian and not romanceable by a male character. Krim was not romanceable by any character, IRC. I haven't played in Dragon Age Inquisition, so, yeah. Mass Effect 3 had a very good scene with your shuttle pilot, Steve Cortez, when you walk in on him listening to a really quite heartwarming recording of when his husband died in a collector invasion. It was treated exactly as he had been a heterosexual who lost his wife in the war, and it was honestly kind of hard to listen to for me. It was that good. As for books, there's a lesser-known book called The Sword and the Dragon by Diane Duane, which features a bisexual main character who is in an open relationship, and both these things are revealed in a very by-the-way manner, so much that I had to reread the sentences a few times to make make sense of it all, since it kind of came out of nowhere. Lastly, I'll have you know that I introduced non-furry friend to y'all a while ago, and the conversion has begun. He's still got some learning to do, but I'm slowly corrupting him, smiley face. Keep casting those knots, Branth the Dragon.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I haven't played Dragon Age Inquisition in Mass Effect 3. Haven't played that one either.
Mm-hmm.
I love the hell out of 1 and 2, though. I 100% Paragon best possible ending on 2 and was like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Panther still teases me about the fact that I can't aim nuclear missiles.
Oh.
The particular class I was playing was like pistols and submachine guns, but I had a heavy weapon that was a nuclear missile launcher. Mm-hmm. I had one fucking shot. And if I had hit the boss in the face,
mm-hmm.
I would have just finished the fight right there.
Right.
Instead, I missed. Like, I lined up the shot, fired it, and the boss moved like an inch to the right.
Oh.
I'm like, fuck. So I had to shoot the guy to death with like a pistol. And it's this giant skeleton looking thing. And I'm like, I shot this giant robotic monster to death with a pistol. It took forever.
Like a 22.
Yeah.
Just bouncing off of his skull.
Plink, 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 plink. It didn't work out very well. I won, but still, it was stupid. But yeah, the representation is becoming more prevalent in games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and transgendered guns, games.
Robots.
What were we talking about?
Yeah.
No, that's cool. Thank you for the additional recommendations there.
Next one for
you.
I
just had this thought, like, if you didn't have children, but you really felt that you should, would you be a trans parent?
I see right through your joke there.
Oh, ba-dum-tsh.
All right. One more email, and then we're going to have to take a break.
Okay.
Because we're at an hour yet. But this one is another one from Jeeves. And he's talking about cartoons.
We're catching up on our week's worth of conversations here. Memories of last week and the week before. Childhood cartoons. Dear Notcast, sorry for sending two separate emails into this week's show, but the last podcast sparked a whole bunch of conversations to which I wanted to reply. Last show, you spoke about some of your favorite childhood cartoons with anthro characters, and I thought I'd add a few to the list which you didn't mention. First of all, The Moomins, which, when I first read this email, I thought it said The Mormons.
The Mormons!
And I was like, they had a cartoon about the Mormons, and it had anthros in it? Blew my mind. This Finnish children's book series has been made into a whole bunch of cartoons and puppet animations all over the world. But the one which introduced me to was the early 90s dub of the Japanese series. Looking back, it was probably the first ever anime to air on British TV. The Moomins is a rather trippy cartoon about the life of a family of Moomin trolls who look like big white anthro hippos. The series also featured anthro mouse kangaroo-looking things and a whole bunch of other really awesome character designs. It still holds up as a really amazing series, and I highly recommend it. At times adorable, at times beautiful, and at other times wholly and genuinely terrifying. Next, Noah's Island. Imagine a cross between Lost, Madagascar, and Noah's Ark. That's Noah's Island. The story of a polar bear who discovers a floating island which can be steered via the active volcano at its center. He finds himself joined by the surviving animals from a zoo transport ship which sank in a storm, and a pair of mammoths who have lived on the island since the Ice Age. Again, a really great series which had its incredibly dark moments, including one main character, a gorilla named Rocco, who is constantly in mourning for the mate he was unable to save during the sinking of the boat. It even deals with survivor's guilt when another gorilla finds herself upon the island, and Rocco has to deal with the fact that he is attracted to her despite still holding his love for his late partner. Finally, The Animals of Farthing Wood, which I do remember the name of. A British-made series, as far as I'm aware, about a group of woodland creatures trying to make their way to a nature reserve after their home is leveled to make way for houses. Even when it aired, it was famous for how dark it got, including hedgehogs getting run over on a motorway and mice impaled upon thorned bushes by a shrike, otherwise known as a butcher bird. It was the Game of Thrones of my childhood, with no character being safe from harm or even death. I'll link to the opening animations of these series below. I encourage you and all the listeners to check them out if you have the time. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo, Scotland. The Moomins,
But he did include links to YouTube things, and I'll put them in the show notes.
Okay,
and it'll end up on our Tumblr at the end.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to stop and save. play some more free music from YouTube because, yay, he likes this music that's free. And we'll be back because we got a bunch more emails, but a lot of them are Tumblr questions, so they'll probably be pretty quick. Yeah.
By the way, you might want to steam clean your carpet. And we're back.
Yes. Yes, we are. Oh, Fuzz. You've got to have to clean the carpets again, you fucker. I'm going to rub your nose in it.
No. My carpet. My studio.
Damn it.
My microphone. Ah! I put my mouth near that. Damn it.
All right. So.
It's your turn.
It's another silly comedic pitch. Dear Nightcasters, no real questions this week. Thought I'd send the idea. No real question this week. I just thought I'd send in an idea which I had, which fits into the whole relationships theme of the podcast. It's silly, but it makes me giggle to no end. Imagine an odd couple style TV sitcom with Chell and GLaDOS as roommates. Bonus points if you tried to do a GLaDOS voice for her parts.
We're not going to act this out, are we?
I'm just going to read it.
Oh.
Opening scene. Chell is just out of bed, rubbing her eyes as she leaves
Hang on 1 second. Let's have another brief segment of Savarun Explains Video Games to Fuzz. Music theme. I know what GLaDOS is. What's Chell?
Chell is the character you play as in Portal 2.
Portal. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so Portal and Portal 2.
Human person.
Yeah, she is a human.
Okay.
Sort of ambiguously brown female character.
Okay.
It's who you play as in both games.
Cool. I thought it was another AI, so I was like, it'd be funny for two AIs to be talking.
Well, she does have the two robots. Chell has, like, Webley and Atlas, which are there. I mean, if you play multiplayer, you don't play
Webley as... and Bimblefuck.
Whatever. If you play multiplayer, you play as the two robots because they're like, well, you can't be two Chells.
Oh, okay.
You could, but they just made two robots. And
you'd
that's
be like, go to Chell.
Anyways, let me read this.
Okay.
Opening scene. Chell is just out of bed, rubbing her eyes as she leaves the bedroom. GLaDOS is hanging from the living room ceiling, the portal gun on a plinth beneath her. GLaDOS. Good morning, Chell. I thought you should know that while you were sleeping, I widened the aperture of your portals to accommodate your ever-expanding waistline. Laugh track plays. Chell says nothing, just shrugs comically at the camera. Obnoxiously chipper 80s-style intro sequence starts playing, showing clips of Chell going about her daily routine using portals for mundane tasks while GLaDOS tries and fails to kill her over and over again. Post-intro sequence shows Chell leaving the bathroom, frowning and crossing her arms angrily up at GLaDOS. GLaDOS, oops, did I leave the toilet seat up again? Sorry, I know I don't actually use the toilet. I just really, really hate you. Laugh track. I'll await my Emmy for the post, please. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves. And then there's GLaDOS.
And now she's gonna kill you, yeah.
I was thinking more of the, and then there's Maud. It's a really stupid, terrible intro for a 80s intro.
Oh, okay.
80s sitcom called Maud.
Too many books. Oh, wait, no, too many cooks.
Yeah.
Too many books is my Fur Planet parody version.
Oh, my God.
That Fez and Rory sing. What? Ooh, this one is long, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, it is on my phone anyway. All right.
Well, there's two. Please skip this if it is too long.
Oh, is that the next one?
Yeah.
Skip. Anonymous asked a question.
Well.
Wait, did you not
there was parts to ask, but then there was two sections that said skip this if it's too
long. Oh, okay. All right. Convention season. Hey, guys. It's always nice to hear your voices. First of all, let me say thank you for still doing a show. You were quite entertaining and helpful for too many listeners. I've stayed with you from about episode 5 or 10, and it has been really nice to see the show develop and progress over the years. You have really done some great things, and I'm sure it must be really nice from your perspective as well. Brofist.
We're helping.
Whee! Now over to the meat of the email. Thinly sliced. It's convention season. Well, I guess that's almost year-round now. Kind of true, yeah. But there are so many things that happen at conventions, so I thought I should ask you all the following. What is your best convention memory? What is your worst convention memory? Shiva just texted me. Do you have something you have to do at every con you attend? Do you have any generic tips, ideas you can give to other convention goers? Having listened to you guys for so long, I've heard a lot over the years, but I think this is a very nice conversation to have. It might be inspirational for others to listen to as well. Do you want to go over those?
Okay. Let's see. Best convention memory would probably be, I would say, some of the stuff at Oklacon.
Mm-hmm.
The fun soirees, getting drunk as shit on wine. Having parties in the cabins.
And hookah with everybody. Yeah.
That kind of stuff is just getting together with friends. It's cozy. It's comfy. You've gotten drunk and enjoying the effects of the hookah.
I'm not thinking of Oklacon, but I'm thinking of this past Furry Fiesta when you had some punch. No, you had some juice that...
Oh,
was
yeah.
not juice
that
at
wasn't
all.
Juice at all.
Yeah, that was. I mean, we talked about it on the show at the time, but I mean, just the way you're like, that wasn't juice, and you're just kind of on your knees, leaning drunkly on the table, you know, hitting on the chicks, and I'm just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Buck's just like, yeah, dude, there wasn't an ounce of juice in that bottle.
It was all like vodka and shit.
It was like three different kinds of alcohol, and your stomach like the size of a thimble, you're not really supposed to drink it, and when you do, it acts very quickly.
Yes.
I'm trying to, I don't know if that's my best convention memory, but it did quite amuse me.
It is a funny one. Yeah, I had... I was like, it's orange juice. It's in an orange juice bottle. I ate some orange juice. I've been in a con around a bunch of people.
It was kind of orangey because it had pineapple juice in it.
And I'm like, I don't want to get sick. I'm going to drink some of this stuff out of the orange juice bottle.
This tastes weird.
This is probably adulterated.
It's not just adulterated. It's just not orange juice at all. I'm trying to think of anything else.
Worst convention memory is probably also show related. We had that one disaster show at MFM.
Yeah.
That was really a low point. That's kind of like that one sticks with me still. But thankfully most of my cons I go to I have lots of fun at, or at least a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Like no con is going to be 100% fun 100% of the time, but you know, you make the best of it.
So that was a really shitty memory. Not to have the same memory as you, I'm going to toss out another one as well. But it was also at MFM. Was MFM 2007, I think. Yeah, 07. And I don't own Fur Planet yet, but I'm representing Fur Planet. And I'm working the table by myself. And I woke up and I sat up, and all of a sudden, searing, agonizing pain down my neck into my left shoulder. I didn't even do anything. I was just asleep on my side the whole night. And something got pulled or something like that. And I had like pulled the scalia muscle or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it's called.
It's the scalia muscle. Fucking cunt.
That fucking betrays you, exactly. But yeah. It runs down your neck into your shoulder. And I could not move my head to the left without agonizing pain. So what do I forget every time I lean to the left to pick up a book or something? I mean, the only way to avoid the pain was to move like a robot, like turn 90 degrees, bend exactly at my waist, pick up book, you know? But like that kind of really unnatural movement doesn't really come easy. So of course I'm in agony all day. And the way this story ends is that what was very cool is that they had a guy who was a massage therapist at the con, and he was taking money, but it wasn't for him as a dealer. All the money he made was donated to the con's charity.
Oh, cool.
So I went to see him, and he was like, okay, I could definitely tell what's wrong here, but it's way more than I can do in the dealer's room, where you just had the chair that you sit down and you put your face in the donut hole, basically. So he's like, I'm not trying to try anything or anything, but I've got a proper massage table set up in my room if you want to come back up to my room. And I was like, okay, anything. At that point, I mean,
you're like, whatever. If he's going to do anything, maybe it won't hurt.
I mean, he could have fucked me, and I wouldn't have cared as long as he fucked the pain out of my neck with his masseuse dick. But no, he sat me on the table and like squeezed it out over the length of it. He's like, it's going to hurt tomorrow, but then it's going to feel so much better. But so I got real lucky. I actually got through Sunday at the con because this dude was at the con. But
then you would have had to drive the 8 hours back.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. That was probably one of my worst convention experiences. Just, you know, and it's not even as bad as the FWA, where I threw out my back before the con and I had to drive to the con on a fucked up back. And the reason that one wasn't bad was because Sparf, Mangy, and Alflor, and Ash, that's probably more people than were there, but all these guys are friends of mine. Like, they unloaded my car for me. They set up my table to my direction. And then they stayed behind the table all weekend helping customers, and I would just point to where things were and not move very much. And those guys, like,
they're good dudes.
Basically were like free labor, just did everything for me, and I haven't even asked them to. And they're just really good guys and meant a lot. So that's why that particularly painful weekend didn't suck as bad.
Yeah.
Because I had people come to my aid.
Something I have to do at every con is make sure I hit up the artist alley in the vendor hall and just check out everything.
Selling books.
Yeah.
Mostly. Yeah, I mean, there's no other have to do's really. Well, I mean, there's the have to do that I really like to. When I have dinner, I prefer not to just do dinner by myself or whatever. I like to try and have dinner with folks from out of town that I don't get to see very often and things like that. So yeah, but I mean, now that I'm a dealer, it's like, you know, my old have to do was seeing Tyrion back when we lived apart. Because, like, cons were one of the times of the year when we were actually being in the same place, like, two or three times a year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nowadays it's just selling books, eating food. What else we got?
Do you have any generic tips or ideas you can give to other convention goers? 61, if you mm-hmm. can, source some food locally and have it with you so you don't have to buy, like, expensive-ass convention center food.
Mm-hmm.
Buy Gatorade.
Mm-hmm. For that deep down body thirst.
Yes.
It's got what plants crave. Right. Yeah.
And make sure you take your vitamin C.
Mm-hmm. For dealers in particular, this is good advice for everyone, is to use hand sanitizer. But for dealers in particular, you're meeting a lot of people. You're handling a lot of cash. just having hand sanitizer at your table is a good idea to try to kind of cut down on your germs overall. I could actually give a bunch of dealing tips, but I don't know if that's actually what I did. I wrote down a bunch of dealing tips. Dragoneer did this thing, which I think was a cool idea. He wanted to get a big tip sheet together electronically, and it was something that was going to be put on, I think, FAU's website.
Yeah.
And like he had put out a call on Twitter, tips from dealers. So
you're like, I've done that.
Yeah. So I threw a bunch of suggestions out. Like one of the things I do is because all of our prices are, you know, the same at each con plus tax. And the tax changes from convention to convention because it's in a different location. So I figure out what the most common price points are going to be. So our books are like $10 novellas, $20 for the bigger books. There's a lot of $8 comics, and there's some $15 ones. So I'm like, what's $20 plus tax? What's $10 plus tax? It's like, well, at XCon, it's $10.65. So I know I'm going to be using quarters and dimes for that transaction, right? So I'm like, okay, I need a lot of quarters and dimes. I don't need so many pennies, you know? And it kind of helps me plan ahead, which leads into the next point of make sure you get plenty of change before the convention. Because the hotel has some, but don't count on that because other people might get it.
Yeah, not enough to be vendors.
And so kind of get used to, you know, for like smaller dealers, maybe a couple $100. For the bigger cons, more. I mean, we've gone to Ace to Anthrocon with like $800 in fives, ones, and rolled coinage. And that gets us through most of the weekend. I mean, it's fine once you start making some sales, because then you start making change and you get some more different types of bills. But
you need a fuckload of ones and some change.
Yeah, ones and fives and change. Because you know what everyone's going to do that pays cash? They're going to hit the ATM, and they're going to have a wallet full of $20 bills.
Yep, and that's the basic unit of currency at cons.
So, if your book is like $21.80 with tax, they're going to hand you $40, and you have to be able to make change from that. So, you know, Tieran and I try to plan all that ahead of time. We program calculators or Square to have the correct tax amount and stuff like that. I actually went through Square and I added the tax percentage for each city that we deal in to Square, because Square allows you to have all these taxes listed and you just turn them on or off for each con. So I'm like, okay, Pittsburgh is 7%. Turn it off, go to Furry Fiesta, it's 8.25%, you know, whatever, just as an example.
Yeah.
So I have all that preset up in Square, so it's super easy to just change from one to the other and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. He has a few things left, then we can.
Yeah, he's got some. I didn't want to give too many tips because he's got a few here that he might hit some on. Were you reading this or was I?
You were reading it.
I was reading it. Okay. I do have a couple of tips, hints of my own when it comes to conventions. Always keep an extra emergency budget. You never know what's going to happen. If you're going to need to change plane tickets, staying an extra night at the hotel, etc., which we've seen happen in some cases when like weather has hit a major area and people, I don't remember what con it was fairly recently.
It happened to some people at Fiesta this year.
That's right. Yeah. There was a couple of folks that were stuck in Dallas for a day or two because
we had the ice storm.
Yep. We had a huge ice storm. It was pretty bad. And DFW Airport just shut down for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And there was, they get vouchers to a degree, but it's still expensive. You're still eating out in a strange town for two more days.
And you're losing work.
And you're losing work. And
vacation days. Yeah, it's a fucked up situation.
Yeah, so that's absolutely good advice. Go to the con to have fun, but leave most massive expectations behind. The more expectations you will have, the greater is the chance of you being disappointed.
Yeah. Just go to the con and be like, that. I'm going to have fun.
Yeah. You know, and say, I would like to hang out with these people, but it's not going to be a convention-breaking thing if you don't see all 10 of them or whatever, you know. I do believe you should have some people set up that you want to hang out with so you're not alone the whole weekend.
Yeah.
But don't hinge your happiness entirely on that.
Well, it was like going to San Japan recently, and mm-hmm. I had no expectations, and I made my own fun.
Right.
So, like, I'd never been to that con before, but I had a pleasant time because I did exactly what I went there to do and was pleasantly
jerking
surprised.
Off with your Fitbit behind the table.
No.
Okay.
And I had a good time.
Yeah.
By virtue of not going in there with a lot of expectations and just rolled with it.
Right, yeah.
Didn't hurt that they had a fucking awesome video game room.
Oh, cool.
It was more like it was about the size of the video game area at maybe the Dave and Buster's at Stonebriar. They had a fuckload of machines. It was amazing.
Like actual,
they had a bunch of the music games. They had a bunch of fighting games set up. Mm-hmm. It was
like DDR and cabinet games and stuff?
DDR and cabinet stuff. They had multiple. They had a poppin' music. They had a bunch of the music games that are popular in Japan that never came out over here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool.
Sweet.
I didn't get to spend a ton of time in there because...
You were there repping.
So, yeah, and I was tired at night and wanted to go eat dinner and not fuck around at the video game room.
This next point is very important. Keep yourself hydrated and fed properly throughout the con. Very important, especially if you're a fursuiter, because you, in novice fursuiters, like, will make this mistake sometimes. You burn a lot of sweat off while fursuiting, and alcohol and soda are not going to help you in that situation.
That'll just make it a lot worse.
I actually saw two furries that... some con or other recently where, like, one guy was like, you should have some water. No, dude, this is fine, as he's like chugging a cola, and it's just like, no, man, drink some fucking water. Or people that get drunk and then go fursuit and then pass out or fall down the stairs or something like that. That shit's happened.
Oh yeah.
You know, water and in or at a suit, you know, it's, you know, especially areas where it's hot as well.
That was actually a problem at San Japan. No water stations in the vendor hall.
Ooh, that is an issue.
And actually, I don't think I saw water stations anywhere in the building. There's water fountains, not where I was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I went through a case of the little 12-ounce bottles of Gatorade over there.
Yeah. Is that something FurCons do more because of all the costuming and stuff like that? Or?
I think so.
Yeah.
But, like, PAX had it. So did... That was in the same facility, and I'm pretty sure Akon has them, too.
I don't know why San Japan wouldn't.
I don't know. And I could be wrong. I didn't see them myself.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. If you are sharing a room with someone, pick a person you trust as a roomie. Don't room with random people that can make you feel unsafe.
Yeah. Randos are bad usually.
Yeah.
Well, not usually, but they can be bad.
They can be. Or even if it's not unsafe,
it's
just
still
awkward.
A random person.
Yeah, you don't know. Are they gonna?
Sorry, bro, I didn't tell you I'm bringing my five friends and we're gonna have an orgy on the bed.
Yeah, or you don't know if they're gonna stay up all night, or they're gonna have people over drinking half the night, or if they're gonna snore and you don't, and you forgot to bring earplugs or something like that, or they take 5 hours in the bathroom or whatever. You know, just it could be awkward. It could be unsafe. And you see, like, ride and room shares and stuff like that. But, I mean, that's handy if you're really kind of stuck. But it's not, like, super ideal. You're really better off trying to find a friend or something well in advance. And get the money up front. That's the other thing. Because I see too many people getting screwed over at the end of the con. They're like, sorry, bro, I spent all my money on porn and beer. Now, get the money up front for room shares. Because that's really the best way to go. And it removes a lot of uncertainty and doubt about your finances.
Yeah, and having a rando burn you will make that a very bad convention memory for you.
Yeah.
Hi, Shiva.
So Shiva teleported in.
Yep. Yep. She used her Chakat magic.
Because we're such a magical species.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Bigger on the inside. So we're in the middle of an email that
we're going to wrap up pretty quick on this email.
It's discussing convention tips. So I have a couple more tips that the author is giving out here. Drink a lot of water as well. Alcohol is great, but water helps rehydrate your body, which we covered that in a little more depth a moment ago. Don't plan out your con too much in detail before you leave for it. Planning is nice, but sometimes taking it on the fly is even more fun. And we're going to skip the rest of this because we want to be able to cover some other folks. We've got a ton of stuff, but I'll just read the closing. That's it from me, for now at least. I'll return with a con report from Euroference in a few weeks. Euroference is between the 19th and 23rd of August. Keep up the good words. Best wishes, Loki.
Yay! Ah, conventions. All right, so next
you
one.
You mean the thing that ate my evening tonight?
Yeah, I actually didn't expect to see you at all.
Well, I wrapped up. I headed over.
I was like, Fiesta meetings are never short. Girl, you're crazy.
it is what it is. I mean.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Do you want to read this anonymous Tumblr? This. Or you want to read this one?
Okay. I'll read this one while she's logging in, or she can read it.
Which one is it?
This one, it was from Sunday. Anonymous asked a question.
I've got it up on my phone.
Okay. All right. Hey, guys. I recently discovered your show, and I love it. On to my question, though it's not furry related. I really need some help. My gay online friend is suffering through depression, though he denies it. He has suicidal thoughts, thinks of himself as worthless, and more. He suffers from frequent anxiety issues and has a homophobic dad. His therapist is on vacation. I want to help him, but I don't have the stamina to help him every night. I start feeling negative myself. What do I do? So that kind of, there's a term for that, which is basically emotional vampire. It's basically you feel drained trying to keep them up. Sometimes they need this, so it's not a bad thing, but it does wear on the person who's doing the propping over time. How long is his vacation? I mean, is this just going to... Oh, basically, I'm going back to the therapist is on vacation. How long is this vacation? Is it like a week? Are they like a 6-month sabbatical? I mean, how long are you talking? This is going into the May... get in trouble for giving the wrong advice here, so I hesitate to go too much in depth. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of websites out there for supporting a depressed person, basically telling them to get over it is not the right answer. that you can't just poof and get over depression. It fights you, and sometimes it can take serious counseling, sometimes it can take medication. There's a whole bunch of triggers for depression for what might be causing it for your particular friend. And maybe his life situation just honestly sucks. Living with a homophobic dad, I can see why, you know, he'd have like a rough time.
Yeah. You can't do it all yourself. I mean, it's good to produce as much as you can, but you do have to like try to get them some help from elsewhere. Because it's not just... you can't just do it all by yourself.
Best thing I could say is there's got to be tip sites out on the internet for how to support a depressed friend. You know, things that you can do, things that you can distract.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe try and find something to do where it's not necessarily he. I know that when I have down periods, and it varies by person to person, so your mileage may vary. Sometimes getting up, getting away from the computer helps. I know that when I'm at a funk and I'm just sitting there talking to the, you know, basically typing out my sads on the, you know, internet to somebody, it doesn't always help. Sometimes I have to get up, get away from the PC, and go do something. It just breaks the vicious cycle that goes in your head. You may want to suggest something for him to do to go shake things off. If it is something that's a funk rather than honest-to-goodness depression. Because if it's honest depression, there's not going to be a lot that's not going to need professional intervention for.
Saren, got anything? I don't really have anything that Shiva didn't say. You know, just try to keep him occupied, have him do something to take his mind off things.
Break the cycle if possible.
Yeah, don't break yourself in the in the process of doing that, though, because, it's super easy to depress yourself while trying to help somebody in that situation. Do you want to read the next Tumblr question, Saverin?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So, Saverin, out of morbid curiosity, just how much do you think it would cost to put together a full cast audio production of a story that's over 2 million words long, with a conservative estimate of 50 different characters, and is still being written as we speak? I'm wondering, because there actually is a group out there looking to turn out a fanfiction audiobook of that magnitude. You could freaking retire, man! Okay, so, Audible gives you a work... This is... that's why I was looking at my phone trying to find the calculator. I found a workload calculator to give you an idea of how long... And this calculator says 5 hours per finished hour of work. The other one said six. But anyways, so 2 million words. A good pace, according to Audible, is 9,500 words per hour, 157 words per minute.
Mm.
So 2 million divided by 9,500 is 210.5 hours. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you multiply that by studio time, just say 5 hours per finished hour, and you're looking at 1,052.6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Divide that by 24. Gives you 43.85 solid days of work.
So you would have to work for over a month.
Solid.
Solid, which you can't do.
Divide that by 8 hours because...
Let's be reasonable.
Eight work hours.
Actually,
in a day.
Multiply that by eight, not divide it.
Yeah.
So 48.85 times eight.
One plus two plus two plus one.
Anyways. That's fucking wrong. Anyways, it would take
It'll take math to figure this out.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of dividing by 24, you should have divided by eight, and that would have given you the number of actual work days.
Yeah. Let me fuck that again. But anyways, that would be fairly ridiculous.
You're probably talking a 6 month project at least, I guess.
Oh, Christ. 6 months recording.
And then all the studio time. So this is a year or more.
Yeah. It would be a full year solid project and therefore would probably cost in the range of at minimum, it actually suggests for professional work a minimum of $200 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only accepting like $33 an hour, and I don't know what studio time. So 210 hour long. That's only $42,000 or so.
So $50,000.
Up front.
Yeah. Up front, yeah. And then you go to Maui. I don't know.
No. I wouldn't go to Maui for very long. So, yeah, they're looking at between $42,000 to $50,000 if they're going to pay a good rate.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, also 50 different characters you're going to want to probably split that up among multiple narrators anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll hit the next Tumblr one then. Whoa, you guys really answered my email the other week a totally different way than I expected, and I wanted to thank you for that. You all made me think of my situation in a totally different way than I had been for the past few months. Thank you, you've really helped me change my view on my own decisions I had previously planned. Thanks again, another furry otter.
I think this is a gentleman who was considering moving out to the West Coast and was having a hard time talking to his family.
Possibly. We're helping.
Yay.
All right. This one, next one's yours.
Shiva.
Let's see. Is that the...
Uganda.
Yeah. Uganda, maybe not quite so bad.
Mm-hmm. Apparently the courts... that was the title. Mm-hmm. Apparently the courts overturned the anti-homosexuality laws, though they're still working ways around them. Kind of like the recent repubs, which shouldn't be a surprise, considering that the evangelicals from around here decided we had a sufficient surplus of bigotry and hate to make it a major export. Then he links to one of the...
A news.yahoo.com thing. Uganda celebrates gay pride when they get overturned.
Anyways, I thought I mentioned that helped Shiva feel a bit better about the PM showing up there. Howlingly yours, the Wolfie Man. Thank you. I hadn't found that article, and I Googled a bunch.
Yeah. So, Saverin, be your turn again.
Yep. Anonymous asked a question. Has Fuzz or any of the other cast members, for that matter, ever seen the movie Scooby-Doo and the Reluctant Werewolf? If not, it's basically a spinoff where Shaggy, Scrappy, Scooby, and Shaggy's girlfriend, and Shaggy gets turned into a werewolf so he can race in place of the Wolfman in a monster's race. It's cheesy and very furry.
Zoinks!
No, Shaggy has a girlfriend?
Let's yes, baby!
Well, it's just... It's like,
wait a minute.
It's a spinoff, so I guess they did a one-off.
Anything can happen.
I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
Non-canonical.
Yeah. The real Scooby fans are, you know.
They're rolling in their graves.
Like they're all dead. Is that what you're implying? There's only one generation of real Scooby fans.
Yeah.
The rest of these guys are fakers.
All right. We're down to the wire here, Fuzz. Almost there. Come on.
Okay, I don't know, should we read this one, about episode zero?
Do it.
Oh, Shiva just tagged me. Okay, wrapping up soon, I think. Yes, I just got that. Actually, I must have, like, Wi-Fi calling on, I guess, because, like, I'm in airplane mode, and I was like, I don't even know how
did that happen?
How did that happen?
Magic.
Okay, episode zero. First, a painful sentence for you to hear, I'm sure. I've listened to every single episode of Notcast at least 3 times over, some up to 7 times total, across re-listening while waiting for a new episode, going back to listen to the entire archive, and going back to research things. Wow, you should, Saverin replied to you, okay.
Just now getting the messages.
Yeah. Wow, you should like...
Well, you got my knock-knock just fine.
I did.
Yeah, because his phone's not on airplane mode. Mine is.
The Wi-Fi had a derp or something, and so I switched it off.
Right. I was going to say to Kylie, you should write the, like, a Notcast wiki if you're going back and doing research and stuff.
Episode summaries.
Episode summary. And in this episode, there are no less than 5 racist jokes made by former members of the cast.
Oh, we have our own stock.
Well, are we just going to put it all on the people that aren't here anymore? Like, we would never say anything that bad.
You did last week.
Did I?
We say plenty of terrible things, but there's also plenty of more terrible things that were said by former members. Anyways, moving on. Continue reading.
Okay. Because of this, and knowing just how very much things have changed so many times over the years, I'm super curious what went on in episode zero. If you have an audio file for that, perhaps that'd be a nice Patreon-only content. Maybe even a tier. If you really did destroy the audio, at least tell stories of what went on before, during, after recording. Your trans girl pango from Georgia, Kylie. I mean, nothing particularly bad happened or anything. It was just... It was a very primitive setup. We had a single microphone. We had 4 people crowded around it.
In your bedroom.
In my bedroom at my old apartment.
Weren't you guys drunk or something, too?
No.
Not that time? We're rarely drunk on the podcast.
Yeah.
We did have an email, didn't we?
I don't know.
Yeah, because we kind of announced, like, oh, we're going to do this thing. And I think somebody maybe sent an email for us to, like, try playing around with or something like that. But
I think I still have a file on my computer.
Well, it was on the DVD.
Yeah.
So I know it's out there.
I'm pretty sure I have one of those DVDs around or somewhere.
I'm fine with, you know, if you want to put it on Patreon or something like that.
Yeah, I might do whatever. That.
But, I mean, I'm sure, I mean, our technology has definitely improved since then, so, like, the sound quality is probably better.
And just everything in general. We're 7-8 years older now.
Yeah.
In many different ways.
So, so glad none of us got tattoos.
Yeah. It would have looked like a melted chocolate gummy bear thing.
Oh, on you, I guess it would. Yeah. There's a sudden shrinkage. And
it was like... I was less skinny, then I got really fat, and now I'm less fat again. This poor mutant thing.
It would have been stretched out and then put back. And
yeah, it's
you
like,
should have just gotten like a tattoo of Play-Doh, and then it would look the same.
Yeah, it's like if I had, you know, gotten a tattoo of Celestia's son over my heart, then it would have been like, it would have gone supernova, and then
like dwarf.
And then it's a red dwarf.
You know, just for the irony, I might get something like Bacon is Life tattooed right over my chest, so that when they have to crack open my sternum to operate on my heart, which they'll probably have to do, it'll give the doctors a chuckle.
Bacon was his life, and now it's going to be his death.
Hey, Doc, while you're in there, can you stick some bacon into my heart valves just to get to the root of the problem?
Just lube it up.
Yeah.
Like
I already told you, man, you know, there's nothing wrong with greasy food. Grease makes the blood flow smoother through your system.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am not a doctor, and I don't play one on the internet either.
Fuzzwolf is not a doctor. Do not let him touch your genitals. So, I think we may do that. Put it up as a Patreon extra. Because, well, I was digging through my computer because I'm backing up via Backblaze. Mm-hmm. And I only had like a terabyte of shit to back up.
Oh, Jesus.
And
that's it?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I was going through and like, wait a minute. I have a redundant backup of my entire iTunes library. What the fuck? That's like 80 gigs. Mm-hmm. Deleted that and was like, I have this entire directory that's like not cast episode 0 all the way to episode 255.
Delete. No.
No. I excluded it from the backup because mm-hmm. all those files are still on your server.
Yeah.
Just delete.
Yeah. Delete.
No.
I had to clear some room for all the ebooks I've been – no.
Yeah. I
ebooks are not that big.
I'll probably dig that up and stick it up on our Patreon.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear what episode 0, you should donate to our Patreon. $1 an episode. Woo! All right.
Your turn.
All right. How would you guys define furry? Anonymous asks. Like, you're trying to explain what being furry means. How would you describe it? Asking just out of curiosity. Well, you like dicks.
Yeah. Have you looked at a dag and thought, I want to eat that ass?
No.
No.
It would, you know, compare it to whatever's popular times. Like, hey, you know, it's...
The first 20 seconds of the Zootopia trailer.
Yeah.
Done.
The first 20 seconds of the Zootopia trailer. There you go.
That's very...
And that's basically it. And we've talked about this a little before, but furry is different to everybody. Everybody has different things that they're into or interested in furry, but at its base, it is some kind of appreciation for anthropomorphic animals, animals that have human characteristics. And that is it. That's the bare bones definition. Now, add on top of that, I mean, you don't have to mention that people are into any adult aspects if you don't want to. It depends who you're talking to, but it's like some people are into mascots, not everybody is. Some people are into writing, some people are into art, not everybody does that. But I'd stick with that very basic definition. Yeah. And then if they want to know more, you can elaborate a little bit,
and like what it means for you.
Yeah. Like, and what's funny is like I remember like I was actually like really shy and unsure of talking about it when I was first going to cons, because that's like 15 years ago or something.
Yeah, a lot of friends 16 later. Years ago.
You were just a pup.
Yeah. I had that new first smell. But like, and now I've been around people that have that new first smell. Like I was in an elevator at a con not long ago, and like two normies were in there, a fairly young looking furry and me. And the non-furry people were like, so what's this all about? And he's like, it's a convention. And the guy's like, well, like, what's it about? And then the guy goes, oh, you don't have to tell me if you don't want to. Because you could tell the guy was nervous. Like, and I was like, this guy's going to get totally the wrong impression. So basically I told him they're anthropomorphic animals, you know, kind of like Bugs Bunny. He's like, oh, that sounds cool. You know, what kind of stuff? And I was like, well, some people do costumes. I myself sell comics and books about the characters and stuff like that. And him and his wife just kind of nodded, thought that was kind of interesting. And then they left when they got to their floor.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
And that was it. Done.
It's like, oh, okay. You know? It's like cartoon animal people.
Yeah. I used to think it was something to be like really embarrassed about and stuff like that and not want to tell people why I was there. But when you go to a con, there's very few furry cons that are in a small enough hotel or they're a big enough con that they take over the entire hotel.
Yeah.
And usually they're still contracted out for a certain amount of people who have registered before the room block was set, or they're contracted through various airlines and other companies.
I mean,
to hold rooms.
And Anthrocon fills completely several hotels. But even at Anthrocon, there's so many spectators that come down to see the costumes and this year to watch the parade. So you're going to encounter people from outside of the fandom.
Normies!
Yeah. So it's something that you might want to get used to having sort of a 30-second, 10-minute elevator pitch about what the fandom is.
Yeah.
You know, and then don't be ashamed about it to really just say the basics, and you can throw out there that we do shit for charity and stuff like that too.
Yeah, because I mean, if you are awkward and weird about it, people are going to get the wrong impression.
Yeah,
and I know these guys are ashamed of their thing, huh?
Yeah, it must be something weird. It must be the whipping convention or something like that. And I don't mean cream.
Well, it can include whipped cream.
Yes.
Oh,
for extra fun. But, you know, and I know we probably took that a lot further than the anonymous question wanted, but I felt, you know, that was worthwhile throwing that out there.
Three sentences that turned into a couple minutes of conversation.
Yeah.
All right, we got two emails left. Come on, guys. We can do this.
Yeah.
We got one from Zia. Oh, it's a con report. Rocky Mountain Fur Con.
I should probably not read this one. Zia is full of words.
He is.
You can amend some of it if you want.
Okay, I can read it. All
right. I read the last one, right? And if Shiva's passing on it, like that game show, you know, would you like to pass?
All right, I'll read this one.
Okay.
Rocky Mountain FurCon report. Rocky Mountain FurCon 2015 has come and gone, and I attended, so why not make a report? I, intrepid corgi that I am, decided to go and convince people to buy.
What was that word? Intimate?
Intrepid.
Oh, it sounded like he said, I, intimate corgi than I am.
Well, he is a cute corgi. Anyways. Decided to go and convince people to buy some Fine for Planet products like In a Dog's World by Mary Loud and the new Fang Volume 6 edited by Ash. Hey, Fuzz, do I get paid for advertising in my letters?
No.
Honestly, the books didn't need much help, but I know I was looking forward to the fun. RMFC is a convention with a lot of personal meaning to me, as it's a big convention for Albuquerque's furs, besides Bubonicon, and so a lot of very cool friends were there attending. Also, I usually have fun, and last year I really enjoyed the new hotel with its enclosed atrium and restaurant. I was not disappointed this year. I embarked Thursday and arrived 2 hours earlier to the hotel than I had expected. After securing the room with Tieran and Buck, we walked over to have a quick meal at Noodles & Company. After all that was set up, which is never easy with tiny little corgi legs, I also discovered that night I had left the book I was reading, Shadows That Linger by Andrew Rutter, on the plane, which was annoying as I was at the climax of the story and I lost my new Fur Planet badge. I'm sure Fuzz will happily explain those. On the plus side, I was treating myself to some delicious peach empanadas. Also got to meet Art Decade, whose new dating sim is out and available at furplanet.com.
I didn't know Art Decade was going to be there, actually. Cool.
He has a dating sim?
Yeah, Willy Bear Beach, episode 1. It was something that was released on his Art Decade monthly site, and then he did a physical release through us, so we actually have it on CD, and it's like, it's this bearish dude that owns a little shop in a beach kind of community, and he, like, one of the early scenes, he's fapping in the shower, so, like, yes, it's an adult dating sim, but it's a visual novel, basically.
Yeah. Not on Steam.
Not on Steam, no. And the badge he's talking about was where Tieran had Cooner do special badges for all five of us that were at AC, and it's each of our characters leaning on the Fur Planet table with the logo and our name on it, and we're all selling books and stuff like that.
It's your official Fur Planet Minion badge.
Yeah, and it's like, because they're all the same artist. Oh, and the background color is different on each of them, so we're all the Pride Rainbow. We're actually going to get a sixth one for Ajax, who wasn't at AC, so that we can form the whole rainbow. Yeah.
Cool.
But luckily, Kunor told Zia that he could just print him out and laminate him another copy.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of those. He still has the art, so it's not like he
can't reproduce it. Yeah, it's digitally colored, so he's got the file.
Friday, I wrestled with the registration line, which went very smoothly, honestly. I mean, let's face it, a corgi wrestling anything is a fundamental image, and got an amazing chicken salad sandwich. Then came the rush of the people that was near, and it was near a nonstop flood of activity. For Planet was set up next to the always fun SoFulf table, and so that was a fun time. Also scored a bit of art from Mitty Mandy, Ides, and Portzibi for the new character. Logan, a Canadian Wolverine. Then I was off to a dinner at a burger place, which had a really tasty burgers, and then a pumpkin like I always do and went to bed. Although not before a fur from Albuquerque came up to me and told me how much she loved the book.
That's mine with the pile of books.
That looks really good.
Yeah.
You're green, Randy. Yes. You're green furry.
I love that he's in a hoodie and he just looks kind of cool. He's like, hey, check out my chest fluff.
Buy my book.
Buy my books.
Yeah. Not far from Malcarry came up and told me how much he loved the book. I recommended it to her last year and it was the first book in years she could not put down. Summerhill. Available on bad.books.com and audible.com, which is awesomely gratifying to hear and great. Saturday, I grabbed an amazing cinnamon donut at the Hotel Starbucks and got over to the table for a fun day of sales and seeing some great friends. Special shout out to Bunny Ports and Bunny, Ports, Cheetah, and Carol Kitty, a cadre of New Mexico furs I knew well, as it is great to catch up with. Also ran into Quinn, who had an adorable badge of her skunk character dressed as Squirrel Girl. Also got to nerd out over Mitty Mandy's Peachy Keen comic series and heard about her plans for Volume 3, which sounds fantastic. It was an active and fun day, ending with a dinner at the nearby Mexican food restaurant with the Soul Wolf crew and several others where Kit Silver made everything Wolf percent better. I'm trying to make that a full catchphrase by ordering a plate of guacamole for the table. That evening, I yet again pumpkined hardcore, but not before grabbing some peach cobbler with Don Ryu and Wu Wei.
He's the only one without books for some reason. He's just kind of pimping it at Siani's.
Yeah, he's like, check it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I am dressed to kill. Sunday was the usual wake up late, tea and preparing for planet planning meeting with Tyrion, the fire alarm went off, leading to the hotel evacuation for a little bit until it was determined there was no emergency. Rumors have flown, so leave it to the Notcast crew to say what the latest details are, but suppose the alarm was pulled accidentally by a young child. Soren, the con chair, studied the situation, actually making sure everyone got a safe distance during the evacuation, then getting everyone back in order. Kudos to the RMFC scene. That's cute. It's a hot dog corgi.
Yes.
And it's winking. Meeting canceled, but with everyone up, we had a much busier Sunday morning of sales and comics. It was another fun day for me, being that I got to be a sales corgi yet again. And it was a fun day. Sadly, all cons must end, and this fun convention did too. Pack-up went smoothly at least, though it was sad to say goodbye to everyone, and then it was off to dinner at a pub for fish and chips with the Rabbit Valley team. Usually after dealer room hours, we take a small break between going out for food while y'all decompress, splash water on our faces, wash our corgi paws, and so on. We didn't do that this time, and I'm sad to say I was a little overly moody, end of convention sads, but I perked up after some fries and tartar sauce.
Okay, I misheard wash corgi paws as watch a corgi paw. Like, they
slightly
all just
different.
Sort of crowded around and like, okay, Zia, give us a show.
All right. Okay, fine. All right. It was a meal that I learned the rumor of the convention moving to a new hotel next year. Can the Notcast table confirm this? Due in part to the merit doing a refurbishment and reconstruction, that I've confirmed myself by talking to hotel staff, and it will include the removal of the delightful atrium everyone loves to hang out in.
Yeah, the RMFC Twitter account has since tweeted that they'll be moving to a new venue. And from what I can tell, yeah, it's because the hotel they're in now is basically going to be closed for like a year or in limited operation for a year because they're basically going to, you know, rip out a good chunk of it from the sounds of it. So, okay. Yeah, it is a pity because that atrium is actually really nice. It's a really interesting design to that hotel, and this is the con's only their second year there, so they probably could have stayed there another year or two.
And, well, the atrium kind of has like the atrium at the old MFM hotel, kind of, but you know, in a nice part of town,
right? Yeah, with less knives,
yeah,
and broken car windows.
After that, I got to hang out with the Rabbit Valley guys, Quinn, Wu Wei, Tyrion, Buck, Don Ryu, and Zexy, but I pumpkined again and went up to bed. I had a sadly fitful night's sleep due to a thunderstorm outside, at least I assume, but it was good to end the convention. Monday, I said goodbye to Tyrion and Buck. They drove off early, and then I spent the day relaxing in the hotel atrium due to the late evening flight. It was great, and I got a bit of writing done and talked with some furs. There was also a tremendous thunder and rainstorm outside the atrium, which looked sublime from inside. It was great in my options, as I love rainstorms. I'm sure Shiva's giggling at thought of corgis dealing with rain puddles, but it did mean the airport was a bit clogged when I got there. Pro tip to everyone who uses the Denver airport and is there for a few hours, the airport is filled with public access upper-level seating areas with lots of seats, bathrooms, and wall plugs, and are usually empty as most people sit at their gate. All around, a great convention and a fun time. I can't wait for RMFC 2016. Best, Zia McCorgi.
Yay, Zia. I swear, if Zia ever comes to Dallas for any length of time, we're going to be little old grannies together. Mm-hmm. Between our baking and our knitting and baking our quilting and our crocheting. Yes.
All right, one last email, Fuzz. You can do it. Or Shiva, you can do it.
Yeah, which one?
Let me switch.
This,
you passed on that one.
This
so
one's called Why Is Name.
No, it's fine. I was just that was a long email, I would, you know.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, if you want to, yeah.
It's fine.
That was more than 120 words a minute.
Yes,
the Saffron on 45. So, yeah.
Yes. Episode in Fox. In Foxo. Oh,
by the way, speaking of Fenix, did you watch the cute little video I tweeted at you?
Yes,
that was
very cute. Yeah. The Fox was like, yes, ears. Yes. Ooh, ears. Pet my ears.
It's just adorable.
All right. Final, final email. Why is name?
Why is animals?
Hello, Notcast. Feral here, writing in about the topic I tweeted about. So, why is name? Well, to start off, when I joined the fandom some odd 8 years ago, I started out with the name Nazuba. I started out on DeviantArt, and you'll laugh at me. He has the ability to grow angel wings. Sorry, no demon wing.
Yeah, you were like, what, 12? Everyone's dumb then. It's okay.
I was 44. No.
But to go farther into why the name, and you will laugh, and why I cringe when I see it now these days. My sister was in Naruto and made a lot of fanfic about it. It may have rivaled the Fallout Equestria series because it spanned the whole bookshelf of composition notebooks. You know the ones. Mm. The black and white speckled books. Anyway, she in her creative ways named me that in her story, and she killed me off rather quickly. Literally, she killed me in her story. So I don't know why I took a shining to that name at the time, but I adopted it as my own.
Now I'm imagining his sister as Kevin Spacey's character in Seven with just the bookcases full of those composition notebooks and crazy handwritten ramblings. And
as time went by, about a year and a half, I made a second character named Feral. Yes, the name was snatched from the SWAT Cats character, but I took it and made it my own. He was a liger and originally meant to be a bit of a joke, but for some reason I clung on to him and made him my Sona. I dropped the wolf Nazuba, and since I made one last species slide, went from liger to Sabretooth, because who doesn't think wriggling dumb tails are awesome? Anyway, that's why I picked my name, changed it, and why I cringed about it to this day. To illustrate the amount of cringe, I'm giving you this link.
And he gives the Dropbox link, and it's loading. It's loading. It's trying to load.
It's a picture.
It's a picture. It's not loading on my phone.
Oh, it's a cringe.
Oh, okay.
Is that from Naruto?
No. Oh, fuck.
Keep on nodding
Soul
about.
Soul Eater. It's from Soul Eater.
Yeah. Keep on nodding about Feral Catano.
Black Star from Soul Eater doing his face.
Yay.
Anyways, all right. Well, that is it for the emails this week. Wow, this one is nearly, well, it's going to be about 2 hours total by the time I slap everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also almost 11 o'clock at night.
I have work tomorrow, you fag.
Well, at least you were able to make it for a little bit, Shiva.
I guess he kind of looked at me and says, oh, fuck it. Hey, Jiva.
I'm a special guest this week?
Yes.
Our special mid-show guest.
Anywho.
So,
I think the battery on this is dying because, like, it wouldn't charge after a certain point, and now it's back down to, like, 5%.
Oh, wow.
I heard the soft little, like, complaining, boop. It's like, hey. What about me?
Yeah, you should totally plug that into a reel.
I'm going to plug it over there and stick it next to my computer.
Yeah. I don't think that little thing designed for the touchpad is producing enough juice.
And plugging it on USB for my computer is going to make it take for fucking ever. But you know what? We don't use it but like once a week, so whatever.
It can take
a week.
We
can always go back to rustling papers.
Oh, man. Our printer's dead. So we'd like have to have Fuzz print them all out. Oh,
again.
Fuzz, print out the sheaf of emails and bring them.
That's right. I used to do that. Wow.
Yeah, the rustling emails were a thing for a while.
Yeah.
And then we had the shredder where like, oh, this email's shit. Yeah, we don't do that anymore.
Well, it's hard to shred a tablet.
But we can try.
That's not.
Not with that attitude. So, yeah. So, next week, so we have IndieFurCon coming up this week. I'm sure there's other stuff coming on.
Mm-hmm.
BronyCon was last week. If you went to BronyCon, let us know.
There's like a con every weekend.
There is a con every weekend nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially over the summer. I mean, we had IndieFurCon is this weekend. Next weekend's Euroferns. Furry Migrations after that.
Then Methods
after that. I mean, it's just con.
All the cons.
So if you went to Rocky Mountain FurCon, IndieFurCon this coming weekend, or BronyCon last weekend, go ahead and write in with your con reports.
with yep. your tails.
Your tails of tails.
Mm-hmm. And getting some tails.
Yep. All right. Well, anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. So on that note.
Good night.
And big balls.